This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
This is Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
There's Saul Tillamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball
isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
So with Nathan Eovaldi, what did he mean to you?
I mean, Nate was turned into one of my greatest friends. When I first got here, he was kind of the first one to approach me, first one to, kind of take me under his wing and everything, and just mentor me, not only just like on the field in the locker room, like with baseball, but just like as a person. And so, even now we still talk and everything. And so he's just an amazing friend.
What do you remember? Because when you first meet him, you're probably deer in the headlights a little bit, right? Rule 5 guy and everything else. What do you remember about your first interaction?
I just remember Nate was like, "You will talk." Because like I first got here, I was really quiet, didn't want to like ruffle any feathers, didn't want to try and get anyone's way. And like I just remember Nate coming and sitting by me and just being like, "Hey," and I was just like, "Hi," just trying to be all quiet and letting him do all the talking. And then like basically he was just like, "Hey, you're not gonna have a choice. You are gonna be my friend. We are gonna talk, we're gonna hang out." And that's just basically Nate.
and then I still have the image of you guys coming out of the fog, pulling the sleds and everything else. When did you sort of start that part of it where you're like, "I'm gonna follow him and what he does and how he prepares"?
I think it was basically like he saw me working out and then he was like, "Man, I like the way you work out." And the way he is, he always wants to be challenged, he always wants to be driven. And he was just like, "Hey, you're that guy for me that can like challenge me and drive me." And he knew I wouldn't quit on him. And I think that's basically like how it started, is like, we'd get on the bikes in there and like we'd be doing exercises and seeing like who could go the farthest miles, who could do it the fastest, who could do it the longest, like that kind of stuff. Same thing with the sleds, like who could do more weight, who could do the fastest, who could do the farthest. And I think like once we did that, like that just kind of built up this like thing where, I mean, we even used to do it in the steam room in Boston. It's like, "All right, who could stay in here the longest, like who can handle the heat?" And so it was just one of those things where like we always just had that competitiveness, and like I think that was just a fun drive we had.
It's a cliche question, but what's the thing that you think you've taken away from him the most, whether that you've learned the most?
Ooh, honestly, like fatherhood. Just kind of like who he is as a father, who he is as a husband. Like I try and model myself after that, because I saw the way he treats Becca, I saw the way he treats his kids, and just saw like everything he does away from the field I mean, same thing with the Jimmy Fund as well, you know, mm-hmm. like learning how to be a captain the way he was a captain, just kind of like trying to model like who he was as a person.
How tough was it to see him leave?
Oh, it's extremely tough.
I mean, the guys come and go in baseball all the time, yeah. but it seemed like, you know, that was when that's, you have that, all the things that you just said, that bond, you know, like how tough the, for you, what was that feeling like?
Yeah, I mean, it was crushing. I mean, I understand it. The same way with Kulawecki, like when he left, you know, it was crushing. Like he had become one of my good friends too. And it was one of those things like you build close friendship and bonds in baseball. And like, you know, sometimes they leave, but you know, it's one of those where, you know, sometimes you wish it's the club's decision, not their decision.
yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So what now you're going to face him opening day, and you've obviously faced him before. Is this, you're semi-new to Major League Baseball. That's always a weird dynamic of seeing, like, the guy that you only know to be a Red Sox in another uniform. Was that weird watching him for the first time? Or
The first time, yeah. Obviously now he's been gone for a couple of years, so I'm used to it. But, like, that first time, yeah, it was weird, like, seeing him and G. Rich and Martin. You know, all the guys from 21, you know, even Schwarber, like guys mm-hmm. that I got close with in 21 that is like, hey, I've only ever known you as a teammate. Being on a different team, it was like, oh, wow, this is new and different. Again, now that it's been a couple years and I've seen it a lot, then you kind of get used to it. But, you know, it doesn't change like the brotherhood and the friendship you have just because of the uniform you wear.
The last thing is you know, Nate is known for a few things, but one of them is just dominating the postseason. Postseason comes around, biggest stage, he's going to be the guy that you lean on. You witnessed some of that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no secret sauce to it, but there probably is some element of it where you can say, hey, this, I know this guy, and this is why he's this good, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I do think there is a secret sauce. I mean, like, kind of what I just said, like, we compete at every tiny little thing.
Mm.
And it's like, if you don't have that competitiveness, if you don't have that drive, then when the stakes mean the most, you're not going to care as much as somebody that, like, I mean, like I said, like, we'd sit in the sauna and see who could last for forever. It's like, I'm not quitting. Like, so it's like...
By the way, I have to... What was the longest?
I don't know if we ever timed. Like, the longest, it was more just, like, we didn't care, like, how long it took. It just took, like,
however long. How do you lose? Do you pass out?
So, I remember... The time I lost was because I was like, crap, I might have to pitch tonight and you don't have to pitch for another 4 days.
yeah.
And so then I was like, oh, I can't go out there and like suck because I was in here being a bonehead.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, that's how you like perform in those situations, because like you're practicing like competing at that, like at every little thing you do. And when you do that, like when it means the most, you're going to be like rise up even more when it's just like, hey, I'm competing at every little tiny thing I do.
Mm.
Like same thing, we'd go fishing in the backyard. It's like, all right, who can catch the biggest fish? And so it's like when you're competing at those littlest things, like when it's the big things, like you're prepared and you're always going to be driven more.
That's well said, man.